Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the Business Leadership School Graduate Program, BLS 301, Module Number 2. This is Session 4, entitled Strategic Management Through Leverage Points, by Dennis Peacock.
Well, God bless you. This is Dennis Peacock, and you're back suffering through my voice as we look at another tape module here for the Business Leadership School. And in this teaching, we're going to be dealing with the strategic management through leverage points. Strategic management through leverage points. And I think on this one, I'll go ahead and pray first before I do introductions. Father, we're asking that you would grant us, again, the ability to hear and understand through you, blessed Holy Spirit, that we would see in the scriptures your pattern of leading and managing, that we would commit ourselves to build the way you build, both in terms of leadership and structuring organizations. Lord, I pray that those who are listening to this, that you'll bless them, spirit, soul, and body, and that you'll bless them in all that they're building, beginning with their personal lives before you, their families, their relationship in your church, and their ministries in the marketplace, and their calling as citizens to their nations. Lord, grant to us that we would become wise master builders, and that we would follow your pattern, and that we too would learn how to build and leverage through sons, and through those that we are discipling and mentoring. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin this teaching, I want to remind you and lay some foundation before we get into it. I want to remind you of what you learned on discipling, the four-phase, four-stage model of discipling. We are going to be dealing here with building through other people, and we are talking primarily about building through those who we are mentoring or have mentored, through those we are discipling or have discipled, and through those who are sons or daughters who we are already in the process of inheritance with. And we're going to be talking about some of the laws of leveraging through relationships and through people. So be mindful, that's the context of this discussion. And again, we're both talking here about teaching, but primarily training. Trained people in places of authority so that the organization reflects the heart of the leadership of that organization. I want to remind you, secondly, that if you have people in places of authority that are life-draining rather than life-giving, you need to immediately re-examine those relationships and the placement of those people. The joy of building God's way is the joy of building through people who are life-giving in the time that we invest in them and the relationships we have with them. Anyone who is in a position of leverage, anyone who is in a position of management or leadership, God forbid, in leadership this would be the case, who is life draining, something needs to be fixed, because that's a clear sign something is wrong. I want to remind you again of the law of the firstborn, which required that the firstborn belongs to the Lord. And again, you've heard me teach on that several times now, on the fact that peers have more leverage in some cases than the authority figures over them. And the reason you give your first child to the Lord, you give all your children to the Lord, but your first child in particular, is so that they will be a good leader to their siblings. Because siblings have access and power and intimacy that authority figures, parents or otherwise, don't necessarily have. Now, it is interesting that sometimes the firstborn is not the major leader in the family amongst the children. but they certainly need to be the major model, even if they're not the major leader. I want to remind you again of violence, spiritual violence, Matthew 13:12, that the people that you have in positions of leverage certainly should be on a mentoring level and in the business marketplace ministry model in terms of where you are. Those are the ones that are going to be your primary leverage points. As we have shared before, people to come into the level of intimacy, of discipling, let alone inheritance as fathers and sons in the organization, those are going to be almost exclusively believers who are called to work and build with you. Those are the people who are the ultimate leverage points in the organization. But again, not everybody we're working with is saved, and thank God for that, because it gives us an opportunity to draw them into Christ. But you certainly can have people in positions of mentoring influence before they know the Lord, but they must carry your heart, even though they're not in on the deepest levels of total intimacy. The kingdom of God is taken by those who are violent, those who have initiative, those who have a demand to know. They have the disease called the need to know, and all the other criteria that we talked about. And it might be helpful if before you listen to this tape, you went back and listened to the 4-stage model of discipleship once again, so that you're very clear on the levels and the positions that you put people in based on the level of intimacy and the level of impartation that you're working on them with, making sure that you're not putting people who are in a teaching phase in position of mentoring, or mentoring in a position of discipling, or discipling in a position of inheritance until all the criteria are verified in the Lord by results. And again, we're looking for broken people, people who fear the Lord or fear authority in a godly way. I don't mean cowering. You've got to have people reveal their heart and tell the truth. But we're talking about people who have a broken spirit in a proper sense before authority. And I would remind you lastly, before we get into this in depth, that as Jim Collins pointed out so obviously and wisely and good to great, the first step and the critical step all the way in building organizations is to pray the right people on the bus and the right people off the bus. Since God builds relationally and we must build relationally, we want to make sure that we have the right people in the right positions. And you'll see that the more so by the time we're done with this teaching. So let me now turn to the word, the principle that we're looking at is building organizations through others, and let's see if that really patterns God. Now there's many places I could go, but I'm going to go to Romans 8:17-22, since this is one of the clearest examples of the illustration of this principle. Paul is speaking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. And in verse 17, if we're children, then we are heirs. That is, we are destined for sonship and inheritance. And we understand what an heir is. Heirs also, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, what Christ owns, we are joint heirs with him. As incredible as that is. Good leaders produce proprietors, don't they? Where did I get that? I got that right here from the scripture. God being the master leader, what is he doing through Christ? He's producing proprietors, joint owners, co-owners, not employees, but proprietors. Now, here's a qualification to be a disciple, an inheritor, a son, daughter. If indeed we suffer with him, in other words, we're in the work with God, we're in the work with Christ, we are in the perfection of character wherein we've been through the mentoring discipling process, we're heirs, we're in the inheritance realm. We've joined in his suffering, joined in his leadership, joined in his struggle, so that we may be glorified with him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation, the cosmos, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Why does the cosmos, why are the created orders, why are the angels on tiptoes? Why is the host of God on tiptoes? Why are we surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? Because everyone is waiting for God's church, his ecclesia, to become matured enough that he can begin to turn the management of the creation over to him, because God wants us to share in his inheritance in Christ. Recognizing, verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom, and this is a mind-boggling verse, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In other words, God is bringing redemption to his creation through his children, beginning with his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know, I'm trusting that you see what's being said here. If you don't see it here, I'm not altogether sure what to do. The principle here is so obvious. Good leaders produce proprietors. God is the ultimate leader. He is giving us an inheritance in Christ. We are owners, joint heirs of the company business. We're back all the way to doing business God's way, or my original title, Almighty and Sons. Ladies, that's you. Let's look at another example of this. I've got a whole series of teachings on this, but I want to look at it, just make reference to it. 1 Corinthians 4, we're aware of the challenge that Paul was having in Corinth. There was divisions and partitions and hassling and ego and all carnality, all kinds of problems in the church in Corinth. Now, by the way, I say this as one who walks in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so-called charismatic, although in many ways I don't identify with a lot of what is charismatic, but be that as it may, I speak in tongues, all that good stuff. I want to remind you that the most quote-unquote spirit-filled, gift-led church in the New Testament was also the most carnal, arguably the most carnal. Two letters here dealing with their carnality and their sectarianism, which lets us know simply because you walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit does not mean that you can't be carnal or divisive. And we see that certainly here in the Scripture. We come to 1 Corinthians 4, and in verse 11, Paul is again talking about his ministry. And it's unbelievable in hindsight that we have to see Paul justifying his ministry as a spiritual father and an apostle to the church at Corinth, with lets you know that people don't see what's right in front of them unless they can spiritually see it because they have spiritual eyes. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, the Scripture says. That's a battle that everybody who's in leadership fights to some degree in their own context. In any event, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:11, to this present hour we're both hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed, roughly treated, and homeless. We toil, working with our own hands, reviled, we blessed, persecuted, we endure. When we're slandered, we try and conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. And I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. Now, if you were in Corinth and you were spiritual father of the church in Corinth, what would you recommend to fix Corinth? Would you recommend a week-long or a month-long prayer meeting and fasting? That'd be a good thing to do, but that wasn't Paul's recommendation. Would you recommend a revival service? That's a good thing to do, but it wasn't Paul's recommendation. Would you call people to holiness? That's a good thing to do, but it wasn't Paul's recommendation. And I could go on and on and on. What was Paul's answer to the carnality, the divisiveness, the foolishness, the rejection of his authority apostolically? What was Paul's answer to the church at Corinth? Well, his answer was the same as God the Father's answer, because the answer to any organization is always the same thing. The ultimate answer is a son. The answer is a son, my friend. Verse 17. For this reason, what reason? For all the things he's already said from chapter 1 up to this point in this letter. For the reason, because of your carnality, because of your divisiveness, because of you not really properly relating to me, I'm going to have to drop my H-bomb on you. In the same way that God the Father dropped his H-bomb on the planet Earth because of everything that was wrong here, I'm following him. I'm a follower of Christ. I get the game. I see how God builds organizations. I see how God builds people. And Paul says, I've done the same thing. Now I'm going to have to drop my H-bomb just like God my Father did. I'm going to send you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, because he's my disciple. And he's an inheritance. He's carrying my riches in Christ, which are in Christ. And in case you think, Corinthians, this is strange that I'm doing this, and I love this phrase, just as I teach everywhere, underline everywhere, in every church, underline every church. God's answer to an organization is a person. It's not a program. Programs are good, but they're not as good as a person. Do you hear what I'm saying? Put this in the business context, because that's the context that we're speaking to in this tape series. See, what we need is a better marketing plan. What we need is a better this, better that. See, I don't know if Jim Collins is a Christian. I have no way of knowing. And I've seen, you know, Peter Drucker and others. I've seen guys, you know, say these kinds of things. But you know what? They didn't know where they got it. This is not human intelligence. This is the pattern of God. This is leading people and building organizations God's way. And Paul saw it. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be an imitator of me, follow me as I follow Christ. Then he goes through the chain of authority here of God the Father to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to mankind. Okay, and the chain there in the family, the head of the family, the executive function that patterns the Godhead is the male. And, you know, we've already talked about ontological equality and economic subordinationism, all that stuff. So we're not talking about better than, we're talking about functional. But God's answer is a son. If God the Father's answer to the world was a son, then Paul's answer to the church at Corinth is a son. How many of you are trying to make programs your answer instead of somebody that was fully discipled in Christ, somebody that was a son or a daughter to you? Now, I could use a lot more scriptures, but I rest my case. Now, again, by way of instruction, leaders are the generals. We're going to use an army analogy. Could use Navy or Air Force, but I'm going to go with the army. The leaders are the generals. They supply the leadership and the strategy. Underneath them, you've got colonels and majors and lieutenants, captains. Actually, it goes colonel, major, captain, lieutenant. Okay, and there's subordinate ranks relative to each one of those. Light colonels, lieutenant colonels, and majors and captains. And then obviously first and second lieutenants. There's rank within these ranks. Now, when you get colonel to second lieutenant from there to there, these are emerging leaders. Some of them may be there permanently because that's where their calling is, their skill level, their gift level. But the generals don't manage the army. The generals lead the army. The management of the army is done from colonels to lieutenants. But guess where arguably the key leverage point in that army is? It's the sergeants. It's the non-commissioned officers. Some of them may be commissioned, but it's the non-senior officers. It's the firstborn of the army. It's the firstborn. Now, how many of you can hear me if I say the sergeants, the master sergeants that touch the recruits who are first coming in, the first authority figure that touches somebody coming into the army, is not a lieutenant, is not a captain, is not a major, not a colonel, and certainly not a general, who is the first impartation person? Who does the imprinting? Who orients on a deep level the new recruits? It's the sergeants. They are the key leverage points. They are living out the law of the firstborn. It's the sergeants whose job it is, as they say in their own words, the first thing we will teach you is, I am not your mother. And there's a lot behind that statement, isn't there? Those of you that know what that means, I will not digress. You will learn they are not your mother. You get through basic, you've been catechized into the organization, oriented by the sergeant. And the better the sergeant, the better the orientation. Then you go into your specialization. Who is it? You're still around sergeants. But you may begin the moving up process. You now may be engaging lieutenants. Then you go to the third stage, which is deployment. While you still may be managed by sergeants, as you go up in excellence, in calling, now you will begin to touch the leverage points of the higher ranks. When you become an expert, depending upon your calling, you will definitely engage, okay, higher officers. You go into the SEALs or some specialization. You may have colonels and majors that you engage with there on a regular basis, depending upon your level. The point I want to make here at the point of entry is organizations are leveraged through those in leadership positions. Now, put your arm out while you're listening to me, okay? Do it, please. Put your arm out straight. Lock your elbow. Now, if you were to go over, you may be in the car, so don't do this, but if you were at home or on a dashboard here, if you were to put your arm straight and start pushing against the dashboard or a wall, you are exerting a certain amount of force because that elbow is locked. That elbow is your leverage point, okay? Now, bend your leverage point and notice how the dashboard of the wall comes through you, okay? You are leaking force from a physics point of view. When the arm is locked, in other words, when there is a straight transmission of power from the shoulder and the body through that leverage point of the elbow down to the palm of your hand, palm heel, you're exerting 50 foot-pounds of pressure, but you bend that elbow, guess what? You start leaking. You start losing. My deltoids, my body, may still be exerting 100 pounds of pressure, but because the leverage point is no longer in direct line with the force, what is now going out to the palm of my hand, instead of being 50 foot-pounds or 100 foot-pounds, it now may be 75 or 60 pounds. And if it was 50 pounds originally, it can go all the way down to almost zero as I bend that elbow. In other words, I'm leaking power. I'm leaking power because the elbow, the joint, the transmission point in that arm is now no longer sending the same signal to my palm that is emanating from my deltoid, my shoulders. Are you with me? That is exactly the way organizations work. Organizations work in as much as the leadership may put out a vision. You can have catechized the people. They all know what they're supposed to do. But when it gets to the people who are managing them, directing them, for whatever reason, you have a leakage. And that's why the result down on the production level of what you're doing, whether it's sales or marketing or whatever, any facet of the accounting, doesn't matter. Here's the question. How much leakage is in your family? Husband and wife, you put out a directive. How much leakage occurs between you and the kids executing your directive? Those of you that are managing people in the marketplace or pastors, how much leakage is taking place because the people you have put in position are bending. They are not transmitting from you what they're getting from you, or they're not getting from you what they need to get from you. And some of that may be your fault. Some of that may be their fault. Some of it may be mutually both your and their fault. That's what we're talking about here, is we're going to be talking about the strategic management of organizations through leverage points, so that the 100 foot-pounds of energy that you're generating in the boardroom are actually reaching the ground troops, the people in the points of execution. They're getting, if not 100 pounds, they're getting at least 90. Okay, there'll always be some leakage due to sin and resistance, but the issue in an effective organization is not just clarity in the boardroom, but an absolute lack of leakage in the positions of authority. Are you hearing me? That is why I ask you to go back and listen to the four stages of discipleship and ask yourself the question, do I have the appropriate people in the appropriate stress points, communication points, leverage points of the organization, so that the vision of what we're doing is actually getting through? Now, let's very quickly go through the five major points where leakage can occur. Number one is the core mission of the organization clear? And now we're back to calling, context, character, and competency. We're back to the four C's. We got four stages of discipleship. We got four criteria of evaluating organizations. So remember that. And you say, Dennis, you give me too much to remember. Well, I remember it. Why do I remember it? Because I practice it. I do it, and I do it some more, and I do it some more, and I do it some more. And God help me when I don't do it. Lord, help me even as I speak to do it better. Okay? So square one, first leakage point is, what's the leadership like? Is the core mission clear? Is it broken down into components? Is it the measuring rod for all relationships and all actions relative to the organization? Is it catechized, the non-negotiable essential for every member? Are the members of the organization imprinted? Have they been catechized from the boardroom to the washroom to the bathroom? Does everybody in the organization basically know what the goal of the organization is and what their role in the organization is? And are they clear on the chain of command? And are they clear on their job and responsibility and what it is they are supposed to be producing? That's square one. If there's first place for leakage that we're going to look in the boardroom, in the leadership function. The second place we're going to look is in the management function, okay? Leadership, as you know, we've talked about this already in the core study. The leadership is setting the vision, and the management is implementing the vision. It's the delivery system. Management is how the mission is managed. We've moved from generals here to colonels, majors, captains, lieutenants. Is the execution, what is the efficiency? How much of the 100 foot-pounds is actually got into the management? The first leakage point is between leadership and management. Are the managers using the four-stage model of discipleship? We're talking here about disciples and mentors. You got a teacher in here. There's not enough relationship between you and a teacher to carry the load. I'm not saying that you can't have managers who are teachers. I'm saying that the people that have the gift of being teachers and communicators need to be on a mentoring level with those who are leaders. You with me? You made the connection here? There's got to be enough intimacy. What allows communication of vision? Intimacy, trust, and faith. The people who are managing the organization are the first point of leakage. The first point of leakage. Actually, I should say the second point of leakage. The first point of leakage is unclear vision. The second point of leakage is people in the wrong position underdeveloped relationships for people who are in management. People who don't have the level of relationship that's required, therefore they don't have the trust of relationship that's required. Therefore, you may be leaking 25 foot-pounds of energy because they don't trust. There isn't a trust bonding level because they're not on a mentoring level. Now, they are in charge of execution, managing the leverage points. They are going to be interfacing with the third level. And the third level, again, by analogy, is the sergeants, okay? These are the ground level leaders, the leaders that are leading the people who execute. So we talk about leakage, we talk about friction, etc. Now, again, I want to go back to the management folks for a minute, okay? The management is interfacing with all the other lower leadership levels, lower management levels, I should say, and to some degree, they're interfacing with the executors of the vision. All of that is going to be based on trust in the vision and trust in the people who are managing and leading the process. At that second point of leakage, let's, by way of analogy, say you got one leader who's transmitting 90, you got another leader who's transmitting 60 foot-pounds of the original vision pressure. See, when you're looking at your organization and as a leader, because leaders monitor what's going on in the whole organization, one of the qualifications to be a CEO is you have the gift of being able to see the whole organization. With help, but nevertheless, you have that scope of vision. And it's the leadership team that assesses where are the weaknesses. In the first place, we look on a weakness. Well, back to problem solving, right? What's the first issue with problem solving? Relationships. Do we have the wrong person in a leverage position of management? And if so, what's the problem? Maybe their family is causing them so much hassles. They don't have, and we're back to the four C's, their context. Their context is unstable. Guess what? It's showing up in their ability to transmit energy. Their character may have a problem. Guess what? It's showing up in their ability to transmit energy from the leaders. Okay? They may not be called to be a manager. Guess what? It's where we have leakage. We may have put somebody on a teaching level there instead of a mentoring level. So there isn't enough intimacy and trust. Therefore, there's leakage. I think you're hearing me. Now, don't just hear me. I want you to begin to assess your families. I want you to begin to assess whatever organization, your church, your business, in whatever ear set, whatever I said of magic glasses you're hearing and listening to me through and seeing, I want you to examine your organization for leakage. The leverage points is where it shows up. Now, we go down to the issue of examining some of those criteria. So leadership, management, now sergeants and examination. We got 6 points here. Number one, do the people living in the leverage points carry the vision? Okay, that's a leadership issue because leadership is committed to make sure that everybody carries the vision. I think right now about the movie Patton and General Patton coming out as lived out in George C. Scott, orienting the troops before the invasion of the Third Army into D-Day in Europe, World War II. On occasion, the generals need to address the whole army, okay? If there's a problem with the vision, that's a leadership problem. Do the people living in the leverage point measure success against the vision? See, whether it's management or on a lower level, are we measuring what we're doing in this organization by personal profit? Is this about my salary? Is this about my position? Is this about my ego needs? See, if you got somebody who is thinking that way, you're getting a lot of leakage in that situation because they're not measuring success against the vision. They're measuring success on a personal level. Did you hear what I just said? Somebody here just made a lot of money. Somebody here just began to think about reorganizing their organization because you recognize the leakage problem in your organization is you've got somebody in a key position who's measuring success on a personal level rather than on a level of the fulfillment of the vision. When you get an organization filled with people who are not measuring personal success apart from the success of the mission of the organization, you now have a winner. Kudos to you. And this is where we want to, as we're looking at bringing the kingdom of God into the marketplace and reorganizing nations and national economies, built on reorganized businesses, built on reorganized leaders, built on reorganized people, built on reorganized churches and families. We're looking to find and educate and put in the proper position people who measure success against the vision of the organization, not just on a personal level. C, are the people living in the leverage points looking for and beginning the process of developing new leaders in the organization? An organization cannot grow. We can only grow to the level of our effective leadership. I want to say that again. We can only grow to the level of our effective leadership. Now, it doesn't matter. You know, this is going to sound silly to you. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. You are not going to grow based on money. It doesn't matter how great a product you have. I'm cutting across the grain here. I know it. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have effective leadership and management? You need a delivery system. I remember back in the early 70s when we discovered that Red China, so-called back then, Mao and the boys, they had developed the H-bomb. Well, the joke was, what are they going to do? Walk it over here on the back of a flatbed truck? It's one thing to have an H-bomb. You got to have an H-bomb. That's your product. That may be your capital reserve, whatever. But you got to have a delivery system. What is the delivery system of an organization? It's the leadership. It's the management. It's the lack of leakage in the leverage points of the joints. Now, we need to instill that in our organization, from our firstborn sons and daughters, all the way through the elders and deacons, all the way through the CEO, down to all ranks of leadership, all the vice presidents in the organization or whatever. All the leverage points need to be committed to look for and groom homegrown leaders. Homegrown leaders are usually the best kind of leaders because they grew up, they were like Abraham, they were the 300 plus who were born in his house. When Abraham went out to recover the spoil, he took out men born in his house. Indigenous leadership is usually the most effective. Okay, because they carry the vision of the house. They were born in the house. One of the ways that you measure a really good leader in this kind of a position is, are they looking to develop, are they scouting to develop good leaders and future managers? D, are the people living in the leverage points bonding people, critical, 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 bonding people to the vision first, and themselves second. Ooh, have I learned something about that over the last 35 years. I immediately begin to go off into history and think about how I learned it and who I learned it on. When you put somebody in a place of authority, one of the things you really want to watch is, do they call people to themselves out of their ego need? Or do they call people to the vision and the fathers of the house? If they call people to themselves, you've got a separation and a division, which is a major leakage point that just arrived. If they're bonding people to the leadership and the vision of the company, the leadership and the vision of the house, you've now got a very strong leverage point that is going to be transmitting the heart of the leadership to the rest of the organization. Hear it again, folks. Look at who is bonding people to themselves and who is bonding people to the organization. Now, you watch any war movie, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that the people that fight the most courageously are fighting for their brother. They're fighting for their sister. That is an ungodly thing. That's what Nehemiah did. You read Nehemiah 4, he didn't say, hey, go out and fight for God, go out and fight for the vision. What did he say? He said, fight for your wives, fight for your children, fight for your land. God is very realistic. Okay, we're not fighting for glory. You put enough pressure on somebody, they're fighting for the one right next to them. They're fighting to stay alive so they'll see their loved ones again. They're fighting to stay alive relationally for their children. So there is bonding to relationship. I totally believe in that. But the issue is, are you bonding people in the organization to the relationship of the overall vision, the people in it, or are you bonding them to yourself, which means you're going to try and break them away sooner or later? E, the leverage points are where the life is transmitted or leaked. That is a summary point, okay? The leverage points are where the energy is leaked or reinforced. Now, we go to 4 and 5, the metabolic rate of the organization, timing and seasons. We leak energy if the speed of the people and the speed of the organization is out of sync or out of sync with God's timing. Full speed is the speed one can operate while correctly performing the task. In my martial arts classes, I say, now do this as fast as you can. And then I ask them, the older students, define what that means. And the good ones know the right answer. Performing something as fast as I can is only performing it at the speed that I can do it properly. Because practice doesn't make perfect. What does it make? It makes permanent. And if I practice something at full speed incorrectly, guess how much leakage is taking place? Because things improperly applied produce improper results. So leakage can be the result of an organization going too fast. The question then becomes, how do we get the organization only operating at the speed that it can operate correctly? Now, entrepreneurs like me, and I know I'm talking to a bunch of them, how many of you entrepreneurs have yet learned that you can get things going at a speed or get too much going on so you can't execute properly? And what about the fact that you may well be able to execute at that speed? How much leakage is taking place between the speed you can operate at full speed correctly and the speed those around you can operate? Hello, how much leakage is taking place there? What about normal? What is normal? See, full speed is how fast I can go correctly. What's normal? Normal is the long run sustainable speed. You cannot sustain an organization at full speed. You can only sustain it at normal. Normal is a speed that is sustainable by definition. You can go that speed without the people burning out and the organization and the procedures falling apart. Now, reserve. I believe reserve, and this is certainly a weakness of mine like every other entrepreneur's, but I'll wear it myself. Reserve is making sure you've got excess capacity. Yes, we do go full speed. No, that's not the speed we want to run at. We want to run at normal unless we have no choice but to go to ramming speed, so to speak. But to go to ramming speed, guess what? You have to have something in reserve. And if you're at full speed and need to go to ramming speed, you are up El Creco because you do not have anything in reserve. If you can't run with the footman, what will you do when the horseman comes, as the Bible says? Okay? Now that takes us into the whole issue of seasons. So pace, number one, we lose energy if we are at the wrong speed, okay? That is the fourth point we are talking about of loss. The fifth point is you're out of season. Now, we've taught on this already. You've read it in Doing Business. You've heard it in other teachings. We need to discern the natural cycles of people and organizations. Winter is a time of repair. Spring is a time of planting. Summer is a time of cultivation. Fall is a time of harvesting. Guess what? That's the way God builds. See, we're trying to build organizations God's way. Well, that's the way He builds. He builds in seasons. And if God builds by seasons because He discerns they exist, they are origined in Him, guess what? You and I have seasons. You can't live in fall. You can't live in winter. You can't live in spring. You can't live in summer. You are in a season, and so is an organization. Now, you try and do a winter's work in the summer, you're going to have massive leakage because you're out of sync. We need to be in sync with the season that God has us in. Again, we'll talk more about that, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where we come to God pays for what He orders, and He pays according to the season that you're in. And that takes us to the master equation. Those of you that went through SLT, you had a lot of teaching on this. That is, how much of my time is dealing with future things and preparation for the future, and how much of my time is being spent doing current things. I need to manage so that I have a significant proportion of my time preparing for the future so that all my energy is not burned up by the little foxes that are constantly running now. I have a good day in the Lord when I spend 10 to 15 to maybe 20% of my time building something for the future, not just managing what already exists. You cannot grow. You have leakage if you're constantly caught short in the emergency of not having planned, built, and invested in the future. The sixth point, Roman numeral 5, of leakage is strategic resource deployment and development. How the organization tactically, that is in execution, how do we tactically spend our current resources? Okay, is our budget development and application aligned with the vision, aligned with the speed, aligned with the season? Is it aligned with the vision? Is the management aligned with the vision? Is it aligned with the speed? Is it aligned with the season? These are critical factors relative to full force impact rather than leakage. Are there rewards and penalties built into the organization so as to call people up to obedience? Call people up to obedience when leakage is discovered. In other words, are there sanctions in the organization? God has sanctions called hell. God has sanctions called consequences, okay? Any organization, if it's going to be built God's way, must have sanctions. Sanctions are used to help put pressure on us to get the alignment proper so we don't have leakage. Rewards and penalties. Generational transfer planning. That's got to be a part. If you're not planning for the future generation because you're spending all your resources on current operations, you've got major leakage. You just haven't hit it yet. It's in the future. People placement, technological development and deployment, reporting and communication systems, scheduling, managing details. All of those things are critical points of leakage, critical points of proper transference. Okay? Now I want to close because I know you're going to need to listen to this tape more than once. I certainly have taught it more than once and lived it more than once. I want to close with one more set of concepts here relative to the building laws of layering. Layering, concentric circle building. You're going to get more of this in strategic building organizations strategically. How did Jesus layer His organizations for effective leverage? Well, you had the principle of the threefold cord, not easily broken, Trinity. You've heard me say number three is the basic building block of God, building number. Peter, James, and John. That was His most intimate level of transference and heritage and sonship. He then had the other nine that made up the 12. The next layer of nine, they were disciples. They had a measure of inheritance, but they didn't have the same level of inheritance that Peter, James, and John did. James, of course, being the one that managed senior leader, apparently, in Jerusalem. And obviously, Peter and John and their role in Scripture after the ascension of Christ speaks for itself. The second layer that he had, the next circle out, was the 70. There were many disciples that followed Jesus. The 12 were the most intimate. They got the inheritance. The 70 got a measure of inheritance, but not as much. Why? Because there wasn't as much intimacy and there was more leakage. And Jesus, recognizing leakage, since he's the one that invented the reality in which it functions, he didn't spend as much time with the 70 as he did the 12. He spent some time, obviously, and I'm sure the 12 spent time with the other members of the 70. But they would have spent more time with him than Jesus did, because Jesus was not banking on the same degree of delivering power through the 70 as he was the 12, or the same level of the 12 as he was the 3. Outside of the 70, we have another layer, which is the 120. They were in the upper room. They were there when the Holy Spirit fell. Different degrees of intimacy with Jesus. Then he had the 500 that Jesus appeared to on his way out of town. Thought he'd just drop by and visit some of them on the way to heaven. And there were 500 people who obviously had a measure of relationship. And Jesus did not expect the same leverage power through the 500 as he did the 120, the 70, the 12, or the 3. And again, we're back to intimacy equals depth. Intimacy equals death. Now, the second point I want to make about the first building law here is the law of layering. We'll talk more about that later. The next one is something that I've said to all the ones that I've worked with over the years. This one, I understand, doesn't mean I've always perfectly walked in it. And it's simply this. The leader's first responsibility is for their officers, then to their sergeant, lastly, to the people at large. Now, most pastors I know have that totally reversed. The squeaking wheel gets the grease. Far too many leaders put more energy into the people than they do their sergeants, and more energy into their sergeants than they do their senior officers. And then they wonder why the vision is not being implemented the way God put it in their hearts. Leaders, be clear. This is not elitism, it's not authoritarianism, it's building God's way. Jesus put more time and energy into Peter, James, and John than the rest. Why? Why were they the ones invited in for the raising of Jairus' daughter? Why were they the ones invited up to the Mount of Transfiguration? Why were they involved in intimate situations the others weren't? Because Jesus understood that the level of intimacy and time spent equals the level of productivity or the lack of leakage that you expect to get in the organization. If you've not seen this stuff, or to whatever degree you've seen it, your brain's probably hurting. Don't feel bad. You know, I didn't get all this in a day. I didn't get it in an hour. This is years and years of listening, watching, success, mistakes, all that good stuff. Let me pray for you. Some of you, I can feel your fuses smoking. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you don't ask us to learn things overnight. We thank you that you have given us eternity, and we are aware that it'll take that long to learn what you want us to know. And Father, I pray for those right now who may be overwhelmed with what they heard, especially because now they see why their organizations or families or churches or whatever, Lord, their businesses in particular, are suffering. I pray, Father, that you will give them courage, that they would stand in the pain of the question deep enough to repent, and that you give them wisdom to replace and reposition and slow this pace down and change the building according to the season, align properly with the season, to get alignment between leaders and managers and managers and sergeants and people who are giving a lot of leakage because they're accumulating resources to themselves instead of success being the success of the vision and the organization. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you don't rebuke us where we stand, but you come to encourage us, teach us to repent and rebuild. Father, I pray that because you've revealed these things to us, I know that we're held to a greater level of responsibility. Give us wisdom now, Lord, in the implementation so that we, as junior partners in the management of your cosmos, your creation, we can follow you, we can follow Paul and Jesus and others, that we might strategically manage through the leverage points that you've given us. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now work it through and work it through and work it through, and watch God bless what you're building. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.